Friend, tonight we are coming to consider here tonight and from the Word of God just a subject which I have entitled The Day of Wrath That Is Unequaled. The Day of Wrath Which Is Unequaled. We've read about it in 2 Thessalonians 1. We've read about it here from Revelation chapter 6. The day of the wrath of the Lamb. It is indeed a very solemn and a serious subject that we handle tonight. It is a subject, however, that we must handle because it is in the Word of God. And it is a subject that I believe will be profitable for every one of us to consider tonight. Because it is reality. And if you're a Christian here tonight like me, God grant that it might even stir us to go with renewed zeal to seek out the lost ones who are sleepwalking their way right now toward this day of unequaled wrath. And I'll explain why I believe it's a day of unequaled wrath. Something that has never been experienced before upon the face of this earth. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I pray that as we preach this word tonight that God has given, I pray that it might be the message that causes you to do what Noah did. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Noah was moved by fear to prepare an ark. And I pray that this message tonight might cause you to fear. And this night to prepare to meet God, for one day you must. One day you must. The question has been asked, what are we all sure of? And many will say, we're all sure to die. But it's not right. Because some will be alive and will remain upon the earth until Jesus Christ comes. But one thing we are all sure of is to meet God. A meeting with God. And I pray that if there's any in here tonight not saved, that you'll prepare for that meeting tonight. Because tonight might just be God's final call. God's final call. And that's solemn. And that's serious. And so tonight we're thinking about the day of wrath. The day that is to come when Jesus Christ will return to this earth. It is a day that many of us believe is drawing very nigh. There are many reasons we say that. There are many signs given in Scripture, given to indicate to us, those of us who are Christians. In the book of Thessalonians we read that that day ought not to overtake us as a thief in the night. Because we ought to know the signs that the coming of the Lord is drawing near, as we read in the book of James. And there are many signs being fulfilled today in our world. And in the church of Jesus Christ even. Even as we thought about this morning, even as some brother prayed about in the prayer meeting tonight before the service, of the great falling away, even amongst the people of God. Great departure from the truth. It's one of the signs that is foretold in 2 Thessalonians in the next chapter, in the chapter 2. One of the signs is that great falling away. Another sign that Jesus speaks of that day is very fast approaching is found there in Luke 17. Luke 17. Where Jesus says that it would be as it was in the days of Noah, but also as it was in the days of Lot. The days of Lot. Now I want to tell you some significant dates tonight. Significant to me. In 1989, I went on the only foreign holiday I've ever been on as an unsaved young man. And I hated it, for it was far too warm. Far too warm. Went to a place called the Playa del Inglés in Gran Canaria. Nothing that important or significant about that. 5 years later, I was saved by grace. 1994, at the age of 22. Saved by grace. 89's not right for my holiday. It must have been 91. I wouldn't have been going when I was 17. No, I was a little older. It must have been 91. But nonetheless, 94 I was saved by grace. And I remember reading, as you do as a young Christian, the Bible has become a new book to you. And you just devour it. And you read and you read and you read. And you're discovering all these things that you never really noticed before, though somebody had tried to teach you them lately as a child. But I remember reading those words that Jesus said in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. And I knew enough, even as a young Christian, about the days of Lot, and I knew that the great sin in Lot's days was that there were places given over almost entirely to sodomy. Sodomy. And I'll be honest, I remember thinking as a young Christian, how could it ever get like that? How could it ever get as bad as that? Why did I mention the Playa del Inglés? Well, I'll tell you why I mentioned it. Because I was asking a few fellows at work not that long ago. I was asking a few fellows at work about that very fact, about what Jesus said in Luke 17. And I was telling them, as we discussed in work, as we discussed all sorts of matters, the rise in sodomy in our land, as we discussed it, I remember saying to them about Luke 17 and what Jesus Christ had said. And I was honest with them. I told them in 94, I wondered how it could ever get so bad. But I said in 2016, I have no trouble wondering. And then we talked about summer holidays, and I told them I was only once in a foreign holiday. And I told them where they'd been, and you know what they told me? You wouldn't go there today. I said, why not? Because if you were there with your wife, you would be the odd one out. Because today, the place I holidayed, and whatever year it was, is given over to sodomites. And they flock in their thousands to holiday there. And so there are many evidences and many truths from the Word of God being fulfilled that this day of wrath is coming. Coming soon, but listen. Let me add at this point, if you're here tonight not saved, don't take your chances in waiting any longer. And don't be thinking to yourself, but it might not come for a while yet. It might not, but you could die tonight. And be lost forever. You could die tonight. So I trust that tonight you'll be moved with fear. And you'll flee from the wrath which is to come, for the day of wrath is coming. First one thing I want us to think about tonight about the day of wrath is, it is a day that is denied. It's a day that is denied. If you turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. We read there also of the last days. 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? I tell you today, friend, we're living in a land of scoffers. When you begin to speak about the second coming of the Lord, they begin to scoff at you. But isn't it a very evidence that he's coming? Where is the promise of his coming, they say? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Aye, it's true. He's not come yet, but he's coming. And there have been days of wrath upon our earth before, and it was no different before they came either. I want to turn your mind tonight to the days of Noah. A day of wrath in the Word of God. A day when God poured his wrath upon this earth. A day when he destroyed it with a flood because of the sin of men and women. And it was no different from this day. God raised up a preacher of righteousness. Noah, he wasn't only an ark builder. The Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. And as he preached in his day, they scoffed. They ignored him. For 120 years they ignored him. And they no doubt scoffed at him. But the day of wrath came. The day of wrath came. Though men denied it, it came. And Christ is coming again. Though men scoff and deny it, he's coming again. And brethren and sisters here tonight, we need as well as God's people to be aware of it and to work, for the night cometh when no man can work. He's coming again. And so the day of wrath is a day that is denied. The day of wrath, it is also a day that is deserved. It is a day that is deserved. You see, friends, tonight, God has created all things. God is not accountable to any man. God is a God who is holy. God is a God who has laid down laws. And I tell you that God's wrath is coming, and God's wrath is deserved because men and women have broken God's law. Let me say that we all deserved God's wrath. Every one of us gathered in this house tonight, we deserved God's wrath. And can I tell you now, if you're in this meeting not saved, you still deserve God's wrath. And the only reason I'm going to escape God's wrath is because Jesus Christ took God's wrath for my sin on Calvary's tree. And the only way you can escape God's wrath is by trusting in Christ's work as well. Because God's wrath is deserved. The day of wrath is deserved because of the sin of mankind. I ask you tonight, whenever you hear someone being caught drink driving and they lose their license for a year, do you think it's rough justice? No, you don't. You say to yourself, well, they knew the law. They broke the law. And they deserve to be punished. When you hear of someone having committed heinous crimes, caught for their crimes, and oh, that there were more fit punishment in our land for heinous crimes. But when you hear of the lawbreaker being punished for their crime, do you say they don't deserve it? No. You say it's justice. They broke the law and they deserve to be punished. Friend, tonight can I say that you have broken not the law of man, but you have broken the law of Almighty God. And for that you deserve to be punished, and so did I. For I too was a lawbreaker. What law, you say? I could go through them all. And you have broken them all. And so have I. And so I say to you tonight, friend, that this day of wrath, it is a day that is deserved for the sinner. They have not loved God. They have not honored parents. They have broken the Sabbath day. Ah, we even see it tonight. So many. Isn't it true? We used to talk about the Roman Catholics. They only keep half a Sunday. It used to be the conversation in our home. I don't think we're in a Roman Catholic town tonight. We're lawbreakers. The day of wrath is deserved. It is deserved. And men love to deny it. And many don't think maybe they deserve it, but I tell you, we all deserved it. Because we're all lawbreakers. And I want to tell you something. If you're in this meeting tonight unseen, you deserve it more than anyone else. Why do I say that? Because I tell you, you have sinned against more light than most people have got. And I was the same. For 22 years I sinned against the light of God's word. And there's no one was more deserving of God's wrath than this preacher in front of you tonight. But I thank God he had mercy upon me. And I thank God that I can stand here tonight as a sinner saved by grace and can tell you, as a sinner still in your sin and deserving God's wrath, that if you'll turn from your sin and if you'll come and trust Christ as your Savior, He'll have mercy on you too. He'll have mercy on you too. Brother and sister, we're all deserving. I trust that every day you get down on your knees and you thank God for ever saving you. What a blessing. Blessed is the man, the psalmist said, whose transgressions are covered. Sins are forgiven. And so it is a day that is denied. It is a day that is deserved. It is a dividing day. A dividing day. On this day that we're thinking about tonight, the day of God's wrath, there will be a great division taking place. Jesus said in that passage that we thought about there in Luke 17 when he talked about the signs of his coming, and the signs of the coming of the day of wrath. He talked about dividing. He talked about dividing amongst families. Two would be in one bed, one taken, the other left. Brother divided from brother. Sister from sister. Parent from child. Husband from wife. Dividing day. One going to be with the Lord forever in the paradise of God. One left to face the wrath of the Lamb. My friend, it'll be a dividing day, and every day of God's wrath that this world has ever seen has been a dividing day. Let's go again to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. Let's think there about Noah. Let's think for a minute about Noah. Yes, we all know, we have learned from our Sunday school days how many people were in the ark. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives. But do we ever know, do we ever learn, do we ever think who was outside the ark? Because if you read in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 30, you know what you'll discover. Noah's father Lamech, he lived a long time after he had Noah. And he had other sons. and daughters. Where were they? Where were they when the wrath of God broke upon the earth? They were outside. Noah's brothers. Noah's sisters. They were outside. Noah's family. Circle. Outside. A dividing day. Think of the day of wrath when God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of the division in Lot's family, his sons-in-law. Lot, as he witnessed to them, as he warned them, the scripture tells them, to his sons-in-law he seemed as one that mocked. Where were they when the fire and brimstone came? They were in Sodom. Divided and left to face the wrath of God. Friend, this day of the wrath of the Lamb, it is a day denied, it is a day that is deserved, it is a day of division. And maybe you're here tonight and other members of your family are saved and you're not. Maybe you're here tonight and workmates are saved and you're not. My friend, you're going to be divided from them. And Noah could do nothing for his brothers. He did what he could do. No doubt about it. I'm sure he warned them with all the passion and the love in his heart that he could muster. But when the day broke of God's wrath, he could do nothing for them. And if you're still in your sin, when you meet God, then there's none will be able to do anything for you. You'll be lost forever. And can I say to you, brother and sister in Christ tonight, it'll be too late then to warn your loved ones. It'll be too late then to pray for them. It'll be too late then to come to the prayer meeting. It'll be all over. And so could I say to you tonight, why not? Why not even tonight? If they're not here, well, they're not here. We can't do anything about it. But could you lift the phone when you go home? Could you say to them, I'm praying for you that you'll be saved? Because there's a day of wrath coming. And you need to be ready. And listen, there's none of us find it easy, but little is much when God is in it, and God may use your stammering and stumbling words. The day I was saved and came to realize the danger I was in, my mum just simply came in and said, David, would you go to church? And I didn't go. But God used her simple words to bring conviction into my soul. Why not tonight? Just say, look, church, we heard of the wrath of God coming, and I just want to tell you, I'm praying that you'll be saved. Pray on, because God is able to save them. He's able. Though they be not here tonight, thank God His Spirit can move wherever they be. And so it is a day that is denied. It is a day that is deserved. It is a day of division. It is a day that is decisive. It will be decisive. What do I mean by that? Well, it's decisive because it is the day when eternal destinies are sealed. It's decisive. There is no second chance. You see, we live in a world full of chances. Second chance, third chance, fourth chance. You feel a test, you try again. You feel the first time, you try again. I want to say something. There is no second chance in the Word of God. We could turn to many passages. We can think of Luke 16, where the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Yes, he cried from hell. But Jesus Christ, the one more full of love and compassion for the sinner than I could ever be, or any of us could ever be, he said, remember, you had your chance. And now a great gulf is fixed so that you cannot come over. Friend, it will be a decisive day. As I said a moment or two ago, it's too late then to plead with them. It's too late then to pray for them. Oh, and if you're here tonight, not yet saved, I want you to understand that if you die in your sin, or if Christ returns and you're in your sin, it is decisive. And it is forever. Forever. And our finite minds find that hard to understand. But we read of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where the writer penned those words, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Decisive. A decisive day. A day that is denied. A day that is deserved. A day that is divisive. A day that is decisive. And a day that is dreadful. A day that is dreadful beyond anything that has ever been seen before. Why do I say that? We have thought already tonight of days of God's wrath upon earth. You say the days of the flood, yes, a terrible day. Yes, you imagine being outside of the ark and never having seen rain before, and the rain falling, and the Bible says the fountains of the deep, they opened up. You think about how terrible it would have been to suddenly realize Noah wasn't a lunatic. Noah was right. Yes, it would have been dreadful. Yes, it would have been terrible. That's right. You think of what it would have been like in Sodom and Gomorrah for Lot's sons-in-law to realize that Lot, he wasn't a lunatic. He was right. God is angry. God is a God of wrath who punishes sinners for their sin. Lot was right. You think what it would have been like? Terrible. A day of great dread. But I tell you something. That our understanding of Revelation chapter 6 is that this day, the day of the wrath of the Lamb, will be more terrible than any of those days. Why do I say that? I say it because we read there in Revelation 6 in the verse number 16 that in that day, that which would normally fill men with dread and terror, they will cry for it to happen. They will cry that there might be rocks fall upon them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. I tell you, they would run to the fire and brimstone. They would want the flood to cover them of Noah's day, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. It will be a day of unequal terror and dread for the sinner who is left in their sin to face it. Mountains, the rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Day of wonder. Day of judgment. It will be a day of unequal dread. The lost sinner. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder the preacher at times raises their voices to try and warn them to flee from the wrath which is to come? My friend tonight, if you're in this meeting unsaved, this day's coming. But before I finish, I want to tell you very quickly. Time is gone. I want to tell you very quickly that there is deliverance from this day. Deliverance. And that's why, brother and sister, it should never be a cause of ceaseless wonder for us and of praise to God for us that He has delivered us from it. But I want to tell you, sinner, tonight, my two favorite verses in the Word of God. There are many favorites. Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, deserving His wrath, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. From wrath. Saved from wrath. Through Him. Through Him. Day of deliverance. There is deliverance from the day of wrath. And this can be the night when you are delivered from it, if tonight you would obey the gospel. What do I mean by that? Well, to be saved from wrath, you must turn from your sin. That which is bringing the wrath of God upon men, sin, you must turn from it. The Bible calls it repentance. And if you are to be saved from wrath, you must repent of sin. Let me make that clear. There are many today who seem to preach a gospel where you can have your sin and be saved from God's wrath for sin. My friend, it's not in this book. It's not the gospel of Christ. I want to tell you today of deliverance from the wrath which is to come. And if you'll tonight repent of your sin, and just do what many in this meeting house tonight have done, and just come as a sinner and trust that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, then the promise of the Word of God is that you shall be saved from wrath through Him. Through Him. What a glorious gospel we have tonight. What a wonderful Savior we have tonight. What a loving God we have tonight. That sinners like us, deserving of God's wrath, can be saved from wrath through Him. Praise His name. Thank God tonight for the Savior. Thank God for Calvary, where Jesus Christ, and I haven't time to go into it tonight, in those 3 hours of darkness, the hymn writer said, that bitter cup, love drank it up. Where God the Father poured His wrath upon God the Son for a sinner like me and you, so that we could be saved from wrath through Him. I tell you tonight, there is a day of wrath coming. It is a day denied. It is a day that's deserved. It is a day that will be dividing. It's a day that's going to be decisive. And it's a day that's going to be dreadful. Unequal dread. But thank God tonight in the gospel, there is deliverance from the day of wrath. And you know, brother and sister, for us, it will be a day of delight. It will be the day when we will be delivered from all those waves we thought about this morning. Those waves that would cause us to cry at times. Those troubles of life that at times would almost overwhelm us. Paul, there writing to the Thessalonian Christians, he says, rest with us. For when he's revealed, it says he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Ah, friend, tonight you're not saved. Do you not want deliverance from the wrath which is to come? Friend, come to Christ. Be saved tonight. Don't leave this meeting tonight in your sin. God has spoken. Be saved. Lest it be God's final call.